Those who grow our food are fond of saying, food grows where water flows. That they keep saying this leads us to ask, what will we eat if water stops flowing?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1317th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Dijon, who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, the good Lord blessed the Golden State of California with a perfect environment for growing food. The state was given 28 million acres of arable farmland, a benevolent Mediterranean climate, and a spectacular north-to-south range of mountains to catch and hold the west-to-east drift of precipitation from the Pacific Ocean. The state was also given people with hands and minds capable of growing food, and grow they do. The farmers of the Golden State grow over 400 different crops, including 2/3 of America's fruits and nuts and 1/3 of all its vegetables. And by growing this food, the state's farmers earn $50 billion a year for the state. But, as those farmers are fond of saying, food grows where water flows. California is once again in the midst of a drought. These droughts are an unfortunate part of the Golden State's history, and those who look deep into that history say that some California droughts have lasted over 200 years. How long will this one last? When water stops flowing to the extent everyone wants it to flow, people fight for the water that does flow. Because unlike money, which can be borrowed from the future, tomorrow's water cannot be used to grow today's food. When water does not flow, food does not grow. Today, not enough water is flowing in the Golden State of California, and so those who want the water must fight for its flow. One place Californians fight for water is in Sacramento, where the state government is currently sitting on a budget surplus of more than $100 billion. Some in Sacramento want to use the public's pool of surplus money to buy the rights of California's farmers to the state's flow of water. This fight for water leads us to ask, what will happen to our food if politicians own the rights to the water? Let us begin by saying hello to Mike Wade, who is the executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition. Mike, welcome.
Michael, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be on your show today.
Well, now that you're the executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition, I'll bet I know who you want to get the water.
Well, California farmers have been productive members of our society since the beginning of California's statehood. And a lot of the miners that came to California during the gold rush who didn't strike it rich went back to their former occupations, and many of them were farmers. And that was the beginning of California's agriculture history. And our water supply has been an important part of that and allowed us to grow hundreds of different crops that consumers bring home to their families every day.
400 different crops, I read.
That's right.
That's incredible, if you think about it, because there are a lot of very big agricultural states that maybe only grow two or three different kinds of crops, corn, soybeans, and what else? Canola. And California, 400 different kinds of crops, made possible by an incredibly beautiful environment. Now, Mike Wade, can you think of any other place in the world that is like California for agriculture?
California's Mediterranean climate is shared by four other major regions in the world. And we're fortunate that we have the deep, rich soils in California. We typically have abundant water supplies, although we go through periods of drought. And we have the right kind of weather that allows us to grow the vast array of crops that people love and that are healthy and good for us to eat and things that we want to bring home to our families. So,
can you think of those four other locations?
There's a location in Chile. There's a location in Western and Southern Australia. Of course, California, South Africa, and then the area around the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. So these other areas have a beautiful weather as well, but they're not as big or as expansive as California, are they?
They're certainly not as productive as California. And the food products that come from those areas are shared by other markets in the world. And so we don't have access to them as much as we might like if we don't have production in California, which is why it's so important to protect California's rich resources, our agricultural lands, and the food security that Californians and people across the country depend on.
Mm-hmm. And so we're in a drought. And we, in looking back in my short 5 decades or so here in California, it seems like we are always in and out of droughts. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. California's weather goes from one extreme to the other. And we've noted in the second half of the 20th century, we've shifted to wetter wet years and drier dry years. So we need to make sure that we plan better for the dry years by capturing more of the water when it's wet.
Amen. And unlike money, which we can print up and take from the future, the water, we cannot use tomorrow's water for today's crops, right? So either we have the water and we have the crops, or if we don't have the water, we can't grow the crops.
That's right. But what we can do is we can have today's water for tomorrow's crops. And we do that with storage facilities that we've built over the years, reservoirs and underground water storage that we can tap into for irrigation purposes to help us irrigate crops, because in California's Mediterranean climate, we get our wet weather in the winter and it's dry in the summer, which is the optimum growing season for many of the crops that we love, and it takes water to do that. So when we save it in a reservoir or underground, we can have it in subsequent years to grow the things that we want.
And when it gets right down to it, we've done a very good job of building an infrastructure to capture and hold and manage that water, have we not?
We absolutely have, but we have not invested in recent years for the ability of our to capture water in greater quantities because of the changing climate and wetter wet years. We need more storage facilities and a better way to move water around the state to get it into our aquifers to replenish them and have that water available next year and the year after.
Well, it seems like most state governments and local governments as well is that once we get things built, we kind of sit back on our laurels and go with it. And for example, the freeway system. We built a wonderful freeway system, but we haven't expanded that freeway system really to cope for the blossoming population. So we're kind of stuck with the same freeway system that we built for a much smaller population. And the same is true then with respect to water. We built both a state and a federal system here in California to capture and hold water, but we haven't built it up yet.
That's right. And we rely on our government to invest tax dollars in the kinds of projects that help us as a society. And water supply is one of them. If we want food security and if we want to be able to feed our families in the future, we have to have the water to grow the crops to do that. And it takes investment, long-term investment, and a long-term view of where our population is going to be able to serve them. And water supply and food security is like energy. It's a national security issue.
Okay. My first tough question then, why have we not?
We've had several eras in California water supply. And one of them was the development era in the first half of the 20th century. And we've transitioned now to an era of conservation and recycling. And those are great. We need to be conservative in our water use. We need to recycle water. But we haven't added to the system to the point where we can meet all of our needs going down the road. And the investments are there. The public has voted time and time again to invest in water supply, and yet it takes so long to get projects approved and to get them built that we've fallen behind, and we're starting to see the consequences now in a drought year like we have in 2022.
So the public supports the expansion of the water supply and has voted the money for it. And yet the government has not done anything to expand that water supply. So there seems to be the lack of political will here. Am I wrong?
Well, in 2014, the public voted overwhelmingly 2-1 in support of new water storage projects. And by the time shovels hit the ground for the first projects that were approved under that process, it will have been 8 years. And there are 7 projects that are working their way through the process to get some of this bond money for building them. And the last one will be 11 years after the project was approved, or after the bond was approved. And by the time it's finished, it'll be many, many more years. It'll be 2030 when that's actually in operation. So it's taken far too long than it should to invest and to build the projects society needs.
So the public supports it. The money's been voted for it. And yet it's not happening because why is it taking so long?
Part of the reason is we have a very long and careful process for environmental review, which is important. We live in a state where the environment is a priority, and we want to protect and enhance our environmental resources. But we also have challenges and needs for food security and to be able to feed ourselves. And if we don't want to outsource food production so that we're dependent on other countries like we did with our manufacturing, then we need to make those investments and we need to build the projects to help us to continue to grow food like we've done in the past.
Well, okay. Now the question is, can we get off our butts and build the water infrastructure we need to feed ourselves? That is the question on the table today. When the water stops flowing, the food stops growing, and we must keep the water flowing. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson with Mike Wade, and you right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, California is once more in a state of drought, and that this state produces so much of the nation's food leads us to ask, what will happen if the water stops flowing? And the fight is on in California for the flow of water. One thing that's happening in Sacramento is that politicians are looking at the state's pool of $100 billion in surplus funds that are just sitting there. And they're thinking, what if we use this money to buy the rights farmers have to the flow of water? Then we would own that water. And so we kind of wonder today, what would happen if politicians get their hands on the farmers' rights to California's flow of water. Kind of scary, don't you think? So that is the question on the table today. We're talking with Mike Wade, who is the Executive Director of California Farm Water Coalition. Who is in the coalition, Mike?
Our organization is a nonprofit public education organization. So we were formed to help the public understand the connection between farm water and our food supply. And our members consist of individual farmers and farm-related businesses and the agricultural irrigation districts, the public water agencies that supply water for our farmers to grow our food.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking on behalf of city people, we all think food comes from the grocery store.
Well, it's remarkable, and when you think about the production in California and where we buy it at the grocery store. So if you're a family in New York or Boston, maybe Seattle or Denver, and you're making spaghetti or you're putting pizza sauce on a pizza, chances are the tomatoes that went into those products came from a farm in California. We produce 61% of the country's fruits, nuts, and vegetables right here in the Golden State. And so when we talk about water, we really talk about food. It's a food issue, and it's something that the entire country depends on California because we simply can't grow the kinds of things in other states that we grow here.
Amen. Now, with respect to our current drought, people are saying, well, this is climate change and we have to fix the things that we're doing to change the climate. But in fact, you know, those who look at the history of California, by virtue of tree rings in redwood trees that are very, very old trees, they look at these rings in the trees and they can see where there were droughts and where there were times of a lot of water. And they say that California has experienced droughts of up to 200 years, which is kind of frightening if you think about it, because when the water quits flowing, the food quits growing. So how do we address this issue of climate change and drought?
Well, some say that we're in a 20-year drought now. And in fact, if we look at the Colorado River region, which depends on a different basin from Wyoming south through Colorado to Southern California, they've been in an extreme drought situation for a couple of decades. But in other parts of California, while we're in what some might term an extended drought, we still have periods of very wet weather. And just in the last 10 years or less, we had drought conditions in 2014 and 2015, and yet 2017 and 19 were two of the wettest years on record. Those are the years we can capture water and save it for the coming dry years, and we're not doing that.
Now, I read recently where we had a bunch of water stored up in the bank in our reservoirs, and that water was, and the spigots were opened and the water was drained, and now we're without water in those reservoirs. Is that true?
There are times when our water project operators, often under the direction of federal fishery agencies, are required to release stream flows to help support our fisheries, which we think is great. We think having vibrant salmon fisheries and other fish populations being vibrant in California is important. But we need to manage water so that we're getting the value out of it, that we're seeing the response in the natural environment when we release water that helps support those species. And unfortunately, for the last 10 years or more, 20 years, we haven't seen the response in the environment to the water supply that we're devoting to habitat restoration in many cases. So we need to do a better job there so that we have a balanced solution to all of our water uses.
So what you're saying is that even though we've been devoting a lot of our stored water to the benefit of the fish populations, the fish populations are not responding as we would like them to respond.
That's exactly right. And two critical species in the San Francisco Bay Delta, the Chinook salmon and the Delta smelt, have suffered enormously over the last 10 or 12 years, despite the fact that we've released record amounts of water ostensibly to support those populations. So instead of stopping that, we need to find a better way to solve those problems. And farmers and irrigation districts and public agencies are working to do that and are having some success.
Good. Well, you know, when it comes to who wants the water that does flow in California, well, agriculture is certainly a big part of that. And Michael Olson's first law of the food chain is agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. So I'm thinking, as I tend to do, that this agriculture is very important here in California for many different reasons, not the least of which is that it gives us something to eat. Now, who else wants California's water other than the fish?
Well, we have three principal users of water supply in California, and that's our environment, agriculture, and our urban and suburban water users. Now, in 2014, Governor Brown, who was in office at the time, said California devotes about 50% of its water to protect the environment. Those are the environmental flows that we've set aside to make sure that we're doing our best under whatever circumstances to deliver water and to protect environmental needs. 40% of our water, the governor said, goes to agriculture, and about 10% goes to meet urban, suburban, or domestic water needs in the state.
So there are three constituencies that must be tended to there with respect to water. But, you know, in thinking about it, I'm thinking that the city populations, when it comes to them choosing between agriculture and fish or in the environment, I'm thinking they're probably going to go with the environment.
Well, what's important to recognize, and we hope people think about this when they're shopping at the grocery store, is that we're living in an increasingly unstable world. When we look at situations around the globe that have interrupted our food supply, whether it's a war in Ukraine or it's supply chain disruptions, those things affect the ability to find the food products we want at the prices that are affordable here at home. We've seen what's happened to energy prices, and the same thing is destined for food prices if we don't protect agriculture. And right now, we don't believe the government is doing the most that it can to protect Americans' food supply.
Well, and that's, I guess, what I'm trying to get at, is that the government and politicians are going to be responding to the votes. And as long as the votes are in the city, and as long as city people think that food comes from the grocery store, they're going to do whatever they can to protect those critters that they see on television commercials that are starving for water. Your job, you have a tough job.
Well, it is a tough job, and we need people to understand that no matter what, their food is going to come from somewhere. And we think when people are informed, they're better off buying California products because they have fewer food miles. We grow our foods in California under stricter conditions that are illegal in California, that are grown when we grow food or when we're buying food from other countries. They're not grown using the same strict standards that we have here in California. So when people are given the choice and they understand the global significance of their food supply, they are willing to choose California. We see that time and time again. But they need to be informed.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to go with their feelings. And it's always easier to get those feelings wrapped up in the picture of a starving critter than it is to sell the importance of food, because food comes from the grocery store, and everybody knows how easy it is to get it in the grocery store. And so Mike Wade has a tough job, but you're doing a good job of it today. So have an idea then of in the fight is on in two different places, I guess, Washington, D.C., and in Sacramento for California's water. So there are two different water systems, correct?
The two largest water systems in the state are the federal Central Valley Project that was principally designed and built to deliver irrigation water, and then the State Water Project that was a product of the 1960s was principally designed and built as an urban water supply project. However, both of them have overlap to the other water user community. But by and large, yes, those are the two biggest water systems in the state.
So there's two places to fight for the water, one's in Washington, D.C., and one's in Sacramento. So how goes the fight in Washington, D.C. for the state's flow of water?
Well, the fight in Washington, D.C. can transition for and against agriculture. And right now, we're working to convince our elected representatives of the need to protect our food production here in the United States, and principally in California. The water supply here provides food security for consumers. When we have food security, we typically have price security. So people get the healthy food products, they're priced moderately, so they're affordable, and we can count on them to be safe and a good product to bring home for our families. We can't depend on that when we're looking at other countries to supply us with the food that we need.
Well, given what we see happening throughout the world with respect to Russia's invasion of the Ukraine and all that impact it's going to have on the world's food supply, and given the costs of energy to grow food, it would seem like politicians might be willing to be woken up. Are they? Can you grab them by the shoulders and say, wake up, wake up?
We have seen in the United States Congress some awareness over the last few weeks or months that they do recognize the impact that these issues occurring in other parts of the world having an effect on our ability to grow and produce food for our population. So that awareness is growing. It needs to continue to grow, and we need action.
And what kind of action would you hope for out of Washington, D.C.?
We would like to see federal dollars available for irrigation projects, for conveyance projects, moving water from one part of the state to the other, where we're able to capture it and take it to our good farming areas, in the forms of grants or loans that can help do that. We need investment. We need infrastructure investment, building the canals, building the pipelines, and the systems that help capture and deliver water from the wet years, again, and saving it for the dry years when we need it.
Good. And we do need it in the dry years. That's for darn sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What with Mike Wade, who is the executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition, a coalition of agriculture, the people who grow and process and sell our food to us. Yes, get it from the grocery store, but somebody has to get it to the grocery store. and that is who belongs to the California Farm Water Coalition, because without water, food does not grow right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
So we need help with water. There's no doubt about that. There's two places we turn for help. One is Washington, D.C., which is a place where we get federal dollars. And we have a lot of federal dollars invested in agriculture here in California with respect to the water system. And we have one in Sacramento as well. Now, one of the interesting things we see, got a headline here. Listen to this headline. California cuts water to farms. Lawmakers want to buy farmers' water rights. My goodness, Mike Wade, what is going on in Sacramento with respect to our farm water?
Well, again, this seems to be an effort to help serve environmental needs, which is an important part of our priority in California, but we're doing it rather than meeting the investment demands and for water supply for our urban neighbors, for our farmers that grow our food. We're just shifting the water supply from one area to another.
Mm-hmm.
And the purchase of land that holds the water rights not only moves water out of agriculture, it takes land out of production that is already growing food. And we don't think that's a good idea at a time with so much global uncertainty.
Now, we go back to this issue of who's controlling the political process. It always seems that is going to be in the hands of urban populations or metropolitan populations, because that's where the vote is. And there's only 10 farmers out there in the field, and they don't have the vote anymore. They used to, but no longer. So the city people have the vote, and the city people think that food comes from the grocery stores, and so quit complaining, farmers. We want the water to go to fish. That seems to be the crux of the issue. Now, what they have in mind, to my way of thinking, is kind of frightening. They want to take California's surplus of money, which I guess is somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 billion. They want to take some of that money and buy the farmers' rights to water by virtue of buying the land. And the land is what holds the rights. How does water rights work in California, Mike?
California has a very old system of water rights, and it is predicated on first in time, first in right. So if you were an early water right holder, you gained the early and long-term right to use that water. It's important to note that all water resources in California belong to the state, and the state provides a right to use that water. And some of these water rights predate 1914, which is a critical year in California's water right period. But without getting into the weeds, if you have a long-term water right, that should be protected, and it helps. It's the foundation of our society and our ability to do the things that people need. And it goes way, way back to the mid-1800s that protect water supplies for the purposes of growing food and subsequently other needs that we have as a community.
So that right to water is property.
In a sense, it is a property right. And if the state is going to purchase land to acquire that water right, they need to buy the kind of land where the water right is directly connected to it. And that's going to be a challenge because it isn't everywhere that's available. And if the state is going to start looking, they're going to have to, they claim find willing sellers that want to participate in this effort. And then we need guarantees if the state buys the land and the water that it goes to the purposes that it was intended. And if that's to help the environment, then that's what it should go to do.
So it appears as though what the politicians in Sacramento are thinking is that I can really sell myself to the city folks by figuring out how to take the water rights away from farmers by virtue of giving them some cash from the state surplus of money, and therefore taking those rights, and then I can do with those that water what I want, which is to give it to the fish, for example. Now, the thought of politicians owning the rights to water, the state's water, conjures up kind of a paranoia for me that they just might use those rights to determine who may or who may not farm our food.
Well, that is a long-term potential that has us concerned as well. Every acre of land that comes out of production, for whatever reason, is the equivalent of 50,000 salads that would not be available in the market. So when people think about land coming out of production, they need to think about food not being produced and not making it to the store and not making it to their tables at home, or the food that they do get coming from overseas or being more expensive, or all of the above. And reversing our ability to grow food at a time when there's so much global insecurity is not the direction we believe the state should be going.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of city people who do think that because, again, you know, they believe food comes from the grocery store, and so quit complaining, farmers. Now, boy, it seems like a real tough place to be with respect to agriculture, because I could see, you know, the votes being in the city, and the city's vote as being pretty easy to sway with some clever television commercials. Now, has agriculture decided to invest in some TV commercials to fight back?
There is no organized effort on this as of yet. We haven't seen the final proposal. It's part of the current budget negotiations between the legislature and the governor. So we don't know what the details will be on this yet, and we're waiting for that. But what we do want to do is make sure that we fulfill our obligation from the last 33 years of our organization's existence is to educate the public about where their food comes from, what it takes to grow it, and why California is the right place to be growing the food that we depend on.
Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes, commodities like tomatoes or artichokes or what have you will pool their resources in the form of a marketing order and conduct a campaign to sell the world on consuming their commodity. That would seem like something that perhaps California could do to fight for their water. What do you think?
Well, there certainly is a need for a concerted effort to educate the public about what's happening with our water supply and the value of California agriculture. Whether it's dollars from a marketing order that are appropriate for that or other sources of revenue, we certainly do need to fund the education efforts, and that was why our organization was formed 3 decades ago, and that's why we continue to do what we do every day, is to help people understand the connection between farm water and their food supply at home.
So you do not have a marketing order to work with and at this time?
No, and in fact, I don't believe that that the marketing order process is the appropriate way to do that. I think there are limitations on the kinds of work that they can do. Certainly education is appropriate, but in terms of direct work with elected representatives, I don't believe marketing orders are allowed to operate that way. But education, absolutely, and we need to continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about a marketing order for educational purposes?
Well, certainly that is a way that we can use farm dollars to help educate the public about the value they get out of agriculture. And a grassroots effort like we participate in to help people see that, our work via social media to educate the public, through radio advertising, through excellent programs like your own that talk about these issues that are at the forefront. Those are all ways that we need to be communicating with people about the need to continue to provide an adequate, dependable water supply to grow our food.
Mm-hmm. I just think of the tremendous effort put forth on behalf of the environmental community to fight for their position in the mind of the marketplace, and they're very effective. And it which makes it for a very tough fight for agriculture. And again, part of the reason it's so tough for agriculture is that farmers are out there standing in their fields. And the environmental community is in the city doing that tough work of talking with each other. So, Mike, Wade, where do we go from here?
We're going to continue doing what we're doing, and that's to help people understand the value of California agriculture, why it's important that we have a safe and stable food supply, why it's important not only for our state but for the nation, and the fact that California products can't just be moved and grown in other states or that we want to depend on other countries. We've seen what has happened, and we have to continue to work with consumers and help them understand why California is the place they want to depend on for food for their families.
In a way, I hate to ask this question, but I think I must. Do you think the pending food shortage that everybody says is coming will provide California agriculture with an opportunity to say, hey, look at us, please?
Everybody that's shopping at the grocery store today is experiencing higher prices on practically every food product for a variety of reasons. And it is a window into the future. If we don't act now, if we don't work to protect our ability to grow our own food, then what we're experiencing will be the new normal, and we'll be seeing this for generations to come. And the action has to take place now. The investment in our water supply, the support for California farmers, and the recognition that the products that we grow here are more water efficient, they're safer, they're grown under better conditions, and they're more dependable than relying on overseas countries for our food supply.
Now, when it gets right down to it, everybody who lives in California is pretty sensitive to the need for water. And a few days ago, I was driving with my wife up the California coast from one town to the next, and we happened to pass some farm fields in which farmers were actually irrigating with sprinklers. And my wife was so indignant at the fact that all of this water was being thrown up into the air and blown away, and was in the mood to stop and yell at the farmer. But when it gets right down to it, we become very efficient at the use of our water in general terms, have we not, in agriculture?
Well, as a matter of fact, we are much more efficient than we used to be. We're growing 38% more crops on 14% less water than we did just a couple of decades ago. But it's important to recognize, too, that there are appropriate forms of irrigation for different crops and for different soils and for different conditions. And sometimes sprinklers are the right choice. But it's important also to know that almost half of California's irrigated cropland is using some form of micro or high efficiency irrigation. And we've transitioned to that over the years, and it continues in that direction. So if farmers in California are very efficient, and they're striving to be even more efficient as time goes by.
Good. Yeah, we have 1 minute left, Mike, but I have to ask you, what do you think will happen if politicians buy out the rights of California's farmers to the water?
What will happen is we'll see less farmland growing the food that we depend on here in the state. And people need to recognize that and be vocal and to make sure that their wishes are known, that they want California products, that they want to support farmers, that they want food coming from their own backyard, from their neighbors, from the farmers that are growing it and that are doing a far better job than we see in anywhere else in the world. And California is a unique place, and we need to support that.
Food grows where water flows. And where water doesn't flow, food will not grow. Mike Wade, thank you so much for joining us from the Coalition for California Farm Water. Appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.